Bibles and join me in turning to Psalm 85 is where we'll be this morning. Psalm 85, and next week we will begin having our faculty members preach in chapel, and if I'm not mistaken, Brother Ogle will be preaching for us next week on Monday, and I believe that he's going to be speaking from his office rather than here. So you say, how is he going to do that? Well, technology is a wonderful thing, and so I'm going to leave that up to Brother Bean and Brother Ogle and the powers that be. I don't have to figure all that out. So chapel on Monday will be with Brother Ogle. Brother Ogle will be speaking from his office in Kings Mountain, and we'll integrate everything in together to try to make it as normal. Normal, that's a word we all desperately think, what is normal? But at least what we've experienced this week, try to give you a normal chapel experience. And then after that, then we'll rotate through various faculty members, and we'll try to keep any of the announcements and such to a minimum. Most of the chapel services will come from here in the auditorium, unless there's an order that's given by the government that would keep everybody at home. Right now here in North Carolina, teachers that are involved in teaching for online education are allowed to be able to come, and they're spread out in their offices on the campus, so it's not a problem right now. But even if it's worst case scenario, we can do chapels from homes and the offices at home and such. I was telling Brother Comfort yesterday, we were talking a little bit, you know, this week of preaching has helped me to know a little bit of maybe how Jerry Savinsky has felt in his, you know, 50-some years of ministry. For those of you that have never heard Brother Savinsky preach, I've heard him preach anywhere in a regular service, anywhere from 18 to, on one particular occasion, 30 minutes. But usually he's an 18 to 25-minute preacher, and Brother Savinsky says more in 15 minutes than most preachers say in an hour, both in the amount and the pace, both in the substance of what he says and also how fast he can say it. And but anyway, it's given me a taste of it, and it helps my guys in evangelistic preaching. I want you to know I hurt for you when I preach on weeks like this, 14 to 17 minutes. It helps me to see what you go through every senior year when you preach in my evangelistic preaching class. I'd like to read for you one verse in Psalm 85 as we finish the week and talk to you about something that I have pondered some, and the truth is I need to ponder it much more, but that's Psalm 85 in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" When you watch the news, it's amazing. I never thought there'd be a day where our president would give 1 to 2 hour press briefings every day over such things as the coronavirus. It's everything you see is dealing with it. And right now, I'm sure that there are a lot of people in our country that would say that we need several things in this country. There are many, and Congress has already moved upon it. They say there's a great financial need in this country, and they have, you know, approved trillions of dollars to be released into the economy. And so many people are hopeful that this financial injection will make a difference in our country. And, you know, they say we need finances in our country. There are many that are in the medical industry that right now their plea is for the essentials like masks. Protection, barrier protection as they minister with those in the coronavirus. Just this morning I was texted by one of our graduates who works in a hospital, he and his wife both, and he said, "Pray for us. We're now actively working with patients that have the virus, and they have two young boys at home." And we would say there's a great need. There's a great need for masks. There's a great need for money. There's a great need for a cure. Or there's a great need for, you know, those types of things. And I'm not saying those needs are not legitimate. They are. I'm sure that they have their place, especially in the health industry. Those things are needed. But I want to direct your attention to a need that I believe is very great, and it's a need that I'm afraid that many Christians are unaware of, and that's the need for revival. You know, when I talk to pastor friends of mine, they'll commonly tell you that their offerings in their churches are down from 40 to 60%, and some more than that. And they're trying to figure out how to make ends meet. There are some people that maybe they have sat at home and they've become very comfortable with the idea of online church. Why, after all, you can sit there and listen to the pastor with a can of Coke or with your favorite chips or kicked up in your recliner. And people have become much more comfortable. And I know that there are preacher friends of mine that are saying, boy, is this going to breed within us a very casual Christianity? And I think those concerns are legitimate, but I'll tell you, in the midst of the health crisis that we're seeing in our country, I believe it ought to point us to the fact that we are desperately in need of revival. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, or I'm going to show you some things from the verses. But you know what's very interesting? Is I'm sure that there are many of us that have found ourselves at home or stationary more than we have ever done in the last 10 years. You can't just go anywhere that you want to. We're restricted in what we can do because of all this. And isn't it amazing that while we have all of this time on our hands, we still somehow, some way, have little time for God? I want you to think with me about that for a moment. You think about the course of your life. You say, even with busy college studies, it's been so busy this week. But you know, for many of you, perhaps you're not even having to work at this point. There's no work to return to. You have time on your hands, but here's my question. Do you have time for God? I really believe, I'm not a fatalist, I believe that in all this, God's going to get the glory, God's going to move in a great way, and I have no doubt that through this circumstance, God can show us the great need for revival amongst people in Bible college, Bible preaching churches, Bible preaching Christianity. And I want to show you this morning the fourfold question of revival as seen from Psalm 85, verse 6. Now again, the psalmist asks the question, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now the psalmist is not talking about what we would commonly say is a revival meeting. We have those for 4 days, used to be mainly for six. Now a lot of them have shrunk to four. There are some churches that have even gone to one, and a one-day revival. But when the psalmist is talking, he's asking God, God, will you not refresh us? Lord, will you not revive us again? It was bigger than a revival meeting. He was saying, God, we need to hear from you, and God, we need to be refreshed. And so in light of the verse that I've read, let me share with you four things that I believe it's the fourfold question of revival. Verse 6 is a question. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I believe, first of all, it was a question of realization. The psalmist asks God a question. And my contention is this. The psalmist would have never asked God this question unless he had first realized two things. These two things are in the verse, and the psalmist would have never asked God for revival had he not realized two things. Number one, had he not realized the need for revival. You just don't ask God for revival unless you think you need it. I mean, nobody just says, oh God, will you send us revival, unless there is some inkling in their heart and mind in which they say, God, I need it. And I believe probably for many of us heading into this whole mess, we've not been very persuaded that we need personal revival. We're really good at talking about other people that need revival. Yeah, that Richard Parker, he needs revival. Yes, Faith Haney, she needs revival. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Lucan needs revival. You know, we're really good at that. We really are. We're good at pointing the finger and saying, they need revival. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's been a long time since many of us have come before God and said, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I remember years ago I needed to go to a dentist. And you know, you don't ask for a dentist unless you think you need one. I just recently was reintroduced to dentists in the last 6 months, and that's an expensive endeavor. And I remember asking my wife, where do you go to the dentist? And she told me, I said, I need to go. I've got some teeth that are hurting me. And I went, and they did their work. But you know, no man asks for a dentist unless he's first of all persuaded he needs one. And I'll tell you what, there's not a Bible college student or a faculty or staff member that's ever going to ask for revival unless they're convinced they need it. You say, well, I'm a preacher. I'm a Bible college student. Why, you know what? I mean, I do things for God. Do I really need revival? Listen to me. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Ezra was a priest. Hezekiah was a king, but they all knew that they needed God to do a work. Who are we? Who are we? I find one of the greatest obstacles to revival, it's not the special interest groups, it's not a political party. I'll tell you who it is. It's us. God constantly pleads with us to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It may be that even more than any class that you finish the semester with online, it may be that the most transforming thing of your life will be the day that you come to the end of yourself and humble yourself and you say, God, I am not right. And I'll tell you what, when you humble yourself and you reach that point, then you'll start asking God the question, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? In this question of realization, the psalmist not only realized the need for revival, number two, he realized the source of revival. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thou is referring not to the U.S. government, not to the charismatic preacher, not to somebody whose picture is pasted on websites and prominent periodicals, but it's none other than God Himself. Why do I have hope in these days? I don't know, there may be some of you that have the Eeyore mentality right now. You're like, well, this is all for naught, and listen, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm telling you, the God that I serve, He can work in the most difficult of circumstances. When you study the history of revival in the Bible, do you know that it's during sometimes the course of the darkest night in Israel that a change of heart takes place and revival comes? Read it for yourself. But you know what? It's not a preacher that brings revival. It's God. And it's not even necessarily a school auditorium or a facility. That doesn't bring revival, but God Almighty can work in your heart even in a time where we're separated by great distance if you just let Him. Number one, it's a question of realization. Number two, verse number six is a question of repetition. Wilt thou not revive us? Here it is again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. You know, if I asked all of you this question, have you ever experienced revival? I'm sure there'd be mixed reviews among all of us. There'd be perhaps many of you, you'd say, you know what, I've never experienced revival. And there are others of you, you'd say, you know, there were times in my life where I sensed I was so close to God and God was working so intimately in my heart. I think there's perhaps many of you would say, boy, there's a time I felt so close to God, and you may equate that to revival, and I'm not here to dispute your account. Here's what I am here to tell you. It's just as God moved mightily in the Old Testament and God moved mightily in the New, I believe God can move mightily in 2020. The psalmist was asking God to do something again. I'll tell you, a pessimist is a wet blanket. Some of you may be that way. There are some of you, you're like, oh, I'm an optimist, and I believe, you know, I see everything good. There are others of you, you say, I'm a pessimist, I see everything bad. And then there's some of you, you stick your finger up and you say, I am a realist. You know what I've learned about realists? There's a lot of realists. They're just pessimists in sheep's clothing. But there are a lot of people, I just don't, God, can God work in all of this mess? As I look around, can God work in this day? We've never seen anything like it before. Can God do this? I'll tell you where to get the answer. Don't get it from Fox News, CNN, ABC, MSNBC. I'll tell you where you get the answer. Read this book. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find that God's not limited by circumstances. You're going to find that God can work in the worst of days. So let your hope be persuaded in the Word again rather than by what you see on television. Number one, it's a question of realization. Or number one, it's a question of, you'd think I would know this, a question of realization. Number two, it's a question of repetition. Number three, it's a question of intercession. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know what that was? It was a question, but you know what else it was? It was a prayer. You know, the truth be told, about everybody that's under the sound of my voice right now, you've got a lot more time to pray than you did a month ago. Now, I don't know. I may be mistaken. There may be some of you working in some kind of a situation where you're working 80 hours a week, but I'm going to tell you, I look around right now and there are a lot of people, there's just not a lot to do because they're having to stay at home or they can't be as productive. I'm telling you, I believe there's more time to pray for many of us today than there was a month ago. The question is, are we? And if we're not, why? It reveals the callousness of our hearts. I want to encourage you to pray as the psalmist did of years ago. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? When's the last time you've prayed for revival? Maybe you haven't, but maybe it's now in this time you find yourself confused. You find yourself uncertain. Sinful habits have seemingly come back into your life as you've been reintroduced maybe to an environment where it was easily accessible and it's shown you what you're really made of. Why not humble yourself and say, God, You have brought me to this point in my life to show me that I need revival. God, will You revive my heart? It's not a bad prayer to pray in April of 2020. It's a question of intercession. But the last thing I want you to see is that this is a question of expectation. What do I expect in the next 2 months? I have no idea. Next week we're going to talk about graduation. To be quite honest, I expect it to have to be postponed and something else have to be done. You say, what about the summer groups? To be honest, I haven't a clue. At this rate, I look at what's happening and I think to myself that very well could be postponed as well. But I'll tell you, while there's a lot of uncertainty that may be in the future, there's one thing I know for sure. I know this, that when God's people draw nigh to Him, listen, they can rejoice in Him. What can happen? I'll tell you what can happen if we would just humble ourselves and just tell God just where we're really at and how much we need Him. You know what? Maybe it would be that we would find ourselves rejoicing in God that so many other things don't matter to us anymore. Do you know years ago there was a time when all the sports was shut down in a particular country? It reminds me, when I go to the ESPN website, there are no scores at the top. You know why? Because there are no sports. But do you know that many years ago, bars were closed and athletic events were canceled, not because of a virus, but because of revival. And you may call me foolish, but I believe with all of my heart God can do that in our midst again. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you in these days that you have, as we go through the rest of this semester, as we finish out this school year, let revival not only be a prayer from your lips, but a desire from your heart. It'd be wonderful to come back in August and talk about how God worked and how deeply affected us in such a way that could have never happened except for the circumstances that we've been in. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. I hope you'll have a great weekend. And my prayer is that God would till the ground of our hearts and do some desperately needed reviving. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word and the power of it. May our prayer be that of the psalmist of old, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Lord, I pray for our faculty and our staff and our students. Lord, may you till the ground of our hearts. Lord, may you help us to humble ourselves. And Lord, when we don't, you choose to humble us. Help us to see our need for revival. And God, I pray that in the midst of an undesirable situation, that you'd do a powerful work. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.